Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about equal rights, not special rights. Equal rights, not special rights. Let me remind you at the top of the program, you can call 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you on this issue today. It's a very, very important issue. We're dealing with Jacksonville, Florida, and the issue of the newly introduced human rights ordinance. They're fast-tracking it. They're doing so in smoke-filled rooms with Zoom and not in person, therefore foreclosing the possibility of individuals to go in and ask questions and or file formal complaints for what they're doing with this new bill. That's what we're going to be talking about today, give you all of the ins and outs and the pros and the cons of what is taking place and how they're trying to fast-track this bill, why they're doing it, who's responsible for it, and what is taking place with that. So let me remind you, if you're interested in, if you're concerned about the morals and the ethics and the values in our city, you need to speak up, be heard, and be seen. You need to do so immediately. You need to do so now. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. We do so based on Scripture, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of Holy God. It's not a matter of ideological bent. It's not a matter of political rhetoric. It's not based on some denominational dogma. We base our discussion, dialogue on issues based on the authority of the Word of God. God's Word is first, foremost, and final in every issue that we're faced with in life. We sometimes forget that. Sometimes we think somehow, some way, our political leaders have the final authority. Somehow we believe that the courts have the final authority. God has the final authority, the final say-so, in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he was speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that we need to depend on. It's the truth of the Word of God that we should seek. It's the truth of God's word that should be the guidance in our lives and in our living. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place in Washington today. In fact, as you listen to the circus taking place in the Beltway of Washington, you would think that the fact of truth is non-existent. You would think the word truth can't even be spelled by the folks in the Beltway of Washington, especially those on the left that I simply call the loose, lax, lost liberals, or better put, the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats, and what they're attempting to do to our nation. They have no idea of what truth is or how to find it. This is the reason I enjoy so much of what was said by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, speaking to Christians, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray that will be your motto even today. As Christians, that you would seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That should be the challenge for every child of God, for every Christian, that we would seek the truth, to love the truth, to live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with generators by Honda. They have a full, knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power landscape equipment and backup equipment for hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find a gigantic flag, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an urgent thing that we're talking about today. And the urgency is simply because of the fast track that a bill has been put on in the city of Jacksonville. It's ordinance number 2020-244. 2020-244. Let me just read you. I'm looking at the 22-page bill. It says an ordinance concerning equal opportunity and expanding the city's equal rights laws to prohibit discrimination based upon sexual orientation and gender identity. Ladies and gentlemen, the word sexual orientation and gender identity is mentioned about 18 times in this 22-page bill. And the whole focus of that is to introduce to our city and to force individuals and businesses to comply with, to embrace, and to agree with the sodomite lifestyle that's been so prevalent across the nation. It's being pushed today, ladies and gentlemen, what's called a HRO. And some of you perhaps have never heard of an HRO. It's called a human rights ordinance. I've always called it a human reprobate ordinance because of what is said in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. We'll look at that later in this broadcast today. It's exactly what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, across America, all of American citizens are protected by our Constitution. Listen very carefully. We need to set the stage for where we're going with this dialogue and discussion today that's so vital for our city. It's vital for the welfare, the moral being, the moral stability of those in the city of Jacksonville. I'm told we've got about a million and a quarter people in the metropolitan area. Jacksonville covers about 840 square miles. And in that total area, we have about a million and a quarter people. So it's going to have a major, major, major effect on society in general in our city. But listen, we have a U.S. Constitution, and everybody's protected under the U.S. Constitution. Under the Constitution, everyone has the same civil rights. Listen, our U.S. Constitution does not dissect, does not carve out special exception groups and give special exceptions to certain groups in society today. When our U.S. Constitution was written, it encompasses every human being that are citizens in the United States of America. We have the same civil rights. Then every state, ladies and gentlemen, the state of Florida not exempt from that, every state, we have a state constitution. And under these constitutions, the federal constitution and our state constitutions, which citizens are protected equally, all of the citizens protected equally. Our federal and state constitutions guarantee each and every U.S. citizen equal treatment, equal rights. Listen, here's the premise, here's the position, here's the thesis, here's the underlying argument that I have on this issue. There should not be any class of people given special, hear me, special, exceptional rights and privileges. Should be not be any class of people that's carved out and you give them an exceptional, special right or privilege. Yet there are some politicians and leaders in our city and some states across America and throughout our nation that have somehow carried out and carved out some of these special groups, some of the citizens, and somehow they feel that they should have special exceptions, special rights, and simply disregarding the rights and the liberties of the rest of society. we are talking about the LGBTQ agenda. The LGBTQ agenda. That's what we're talking about. It's what this bill is about. And we'll talk about it in a moment, why this bill is being fast-tracked, who's fast-tracking, what is taking place, the rationale behind it. There's a wrestling with it and a hurry-up about it because they want to do so under the cloud of COVID-19 when people are not supposed to gather, people are not supposed to be out, when the city council not even having meetings in person. They're doing it by Zoom. And so supposedly they can pass this bill. Let me just simply say, ladies and gentlemen, at this juncture, it is illegal in the state of Florida and in every subdivision thereof to pass legislation without there being the input from the citizens, from the people to ask questions, give opposition, and to be present if they want to be before the city council. Ladies and gentlemen, the agenda, we're talking about the LGBTQ agenda. Jacksonville, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully for those of you that may not know what is taking place. Multitudes that's listening at this moment, you've not heard of an HRO. You didn't know that it was already introduced in the city of Jacksonville by city council. But the special HRO has a history. 9 years ago, approximately, the HRO was defeated in 2012. It was defeated by city council vote. They brought it up again in 2015, debated it, had it on the agenda. They saw so much opposition, they withdrew it from the city council agenda. And then February of 2017, they passed an HRO, a bill that was the HRO special exception, special privilege, giving special privileges and special protection for the sodomite group in our city. That's what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. They brought it up and they passed it in 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, they took a 22-page bill that reduced it about 15 pages and then reduced it to 5 pages to make it appear as though somehow, some way it was a truncated bill and it had no real teeth and danger. But ladies and gentlemen, that was an illegal bill. It was an illegal bill. It passed in 2017. It was the 2017-15 Special Rights. That was the number, 2017-15 Special Rights Ordinance. And it was... by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it was the on the basis of Tommy Azuri was the councilman then that spearheaded the bill. And Tommy Azuri basically spearheaded it. He was proud of the bill. He pushed it through, and they had success in getting it passed. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been tied up in the court now. Most were not aware of it. It's been battled back and forth in the courts for about 3 years. The court battle over the basis of whether it was a legal bill or an illegal, unenforceable, unconstitutional bill. We, the people of Jacksonville, won the battle, ladies and gentlemen, in that court case, because the battle was won on the basis of the illegality of the wording. What they had done in that bill, they simply said section so-and-so and article or port, section and subsection numbers. I gave a whole list. In fact, out of that bill, 5 pages, about an entire page dealt with the codes and subsections that would be changed, but it was passed and assumed to be law. But the general counsel, the chief general counsel in the attorney's office for the city of Jacksonville, had the responsibility. They were going to draft all of the rules, the regulations, the guidelines. But ladies and gentlemen, of the Sunshine Law in the state of Florida and the bill drafting law in the state of Florida, it's an impossibility to pass a bill without every line, every word, everything being definitively outlined for the general public to know what's taking place. But they did not do that. So as a result of that, the courts ruled that it was an unenforceable, illegal ordinance. Therefore, they set it aside. It was in the First District Court of Appeals, and it was set aside by 3-0. That is 100% of the First District judges. 3-0 ruled that HRO was unconstitutional and unenforceable because of the way it was drafted. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a little brief blurb from an article here. It says the Human Rights Ordinance, the one that they have on the agenda now, 2020-0244, was established special referendum, preferential rights. This gives special referendum rights for LGBTQ here in Jacksonville. It passed. This effort has been ongoing for 9 years, this article says. The last effort to pass this bill proposal happened in 2017. It was passed but done so in a fraudulent manner, leaving whole sections of the proposed law undisclosed, unwritten, unknown. A Florida appellate court overturned the law on the basis of it being unenforceable. The court rendered its judgment this past May 1st, 2020. The political powers, this article says, Lenny Curry, through his city council, Jason Gabriel, chief attorney, that's of the general counsel's office, and the rest of the political establishment, are taking advantage of the limited access to the city council caused by COVID-19 problem to sneak the HRO under the radar. Ordinance 2020-244 is the embodiment of that effort, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying is because the courts rule that the bill that was passed in 2017 was illegal, unconstitutional, and therefore unenforceable, now they're fast-tracking what they see as a fix. You can't take a bill and fix it. So, in reality, although they're publicly saying they're just trying to fix what they did in error last time, they're literally fast-tracking a brand-new ordinance, a brand-new bill. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's being done in a manner to prevent the general public from knowing fully what is taking place. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. This is Raymond Johnson, Biblical Concepts Ministries. Thank you again for all you do and your radio and allowing me the opportunity to call in. I just want to add to the conversation, and you've done a very good job of talking about the we don't call it pandemic, we call it plandemic. So over the last month, if anybody's been listening, they understand what we're going through right now. But what I want to add about the HRO is simply this. What has happened, and you just outlined, May 1st, the court gives the ruling down that voids our Jacksonville HRO. That was a Friday afternoon at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The very following Friday, a new HRO bill appears. So from May 1st to May 8th, one Friday to the next, you have a new HRO bill already drafted and on the agenda for the Jacksonville City Council meeting that's taking place today at 4 o'clock. This is a 18-page bill. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the bill. We can discuss that more in a minute. But what is absolutely absurd, and you just gave the history, we've been through this, four times in 9 years, okay? So you have a very determined group of LGBT lobbyists and activists, and now since 2015 you have a city council that is absolutely determined to give these special rights to this group of people. And what you find is now that we're in this plandemic time right now, where the public has no idea about this HRO bill whatsoever, that anything has transpired. Now, we'll give credit, the day of the court, on May 1st, when the court handed that down, all three of the TV news stations in the Times Union did report that ruling. But there's been not one peep of news media that I know of, other than your radio program, that has, put the word out about what's going on. And again, it was late Friday afternoon when even the activists and the people that are watching this stuff all the time, day and night, which, by the way, people that take time from their families, late at night looking at this stuff, like yourself and a few others and myself. So we find out that this HRO bill is filed. Well, so the city says, according to their own website, COJ.net, if you would like to comment, make a public comment. Okay, by the way, just to clarify for your listeners, the city council has not been meeting. I think everybody understands that. So in person. So they're doing online meetings via this, online platform called Zoom, where they can do big meetings and everybody can kind of be, on camera or whatever with their laptops. So they're on Zoom. Okay. Now, they have been putting off, and I just talked to my own city councilman yesterday who told me they've been putting off all kinds of bills, certain kinds of bills and different things, you know, that just require a lot of conversation. So they've sort of been like in pilot crisis mode, you know, what's necessary, and that's all that they've really been doing. But yet in the middle of this crisis, I mean, you know, even though it's a planned crisis and manufactured, as you've well outlined, we're still in a time of crisis, and they are not meeting in person. The public cannot go down there and speak. The news is dominated with coronavirus and all of these things, and absolutely nobody knows what has happened, hardly. And so now what happened was over the weekend, this past weekend, as myself, yourself, and some other activists and organizations in town got word of this and started, you know, putting the word out over the weekend via email and some phone calls and things. So city council started getting phone calls and emails. Now, they had set up a specific email to say, if you would like to have public comment, you know, email this address and to this, you know, email your comments and we will read your statement, you know, over our Zoom meeting to all of the council members for up to 3 minutes. When you go down to City Hall during public comment at a council meeting, you get 3 minutes. So that's what they were doing. They were just simply meeting online, okay, versus in person. So once all this stuff started getting out over the weekend, and, you know, I'm not taking credit for it, but I will say that by all means I'm not taking credit, but I will say this, let you know in on this fact. Now, I know for a fact, according to my email provider that I used for blast emails and communication, that the mayor's personal email address opened my provider. And it's kind of big brother, but you can send out emails and you know who's what email addresses opens your emails. That's kind of crazy, but it's the way technology is. So the mayor opened my email late Sunday night, and come Monday morning, the council president decides we're canceling public comment. Okay.
Well, Raymond, if I could jump in for just a minute and have some dialogue and discussion with you on that. Number one, if they proceed on this basis, we need to have a class action suit filed against the city, because it is against the Sunshine Law in the state of Florida for them to meet without the public, to have public input. It is illegal and unconstitutional for them to think they can pass a bill, force it into fast track, and under the shroud of darkness, as I call it, to pass the law or pass this bill without public input. The citizens have the right, the constitutional right, to have input face-to-face with our legislators, to challenge them, ask them questions, and to speak on any issue and on any bill. That's addressed, by the way, in our Bill of Rights with our First Amendment, that we have that right. And that's been codified in every constitution across the nation, including our federal constitution. They can't circumvent that. So if they want to continue on that fast track, I believe we need to have someone that will take the legal reins and put a stop to it and or challenge it on that basis. Continue with your thought. Right. By the way, for our listeners, Raymond has done a tremendous work in networking, getting the news out and getting the emails out across our city, because of the speed in which the city council is now trying to force through this legislation. I'm thankful that Raymond has taken a lead, tip of the spear lead in this, so that we would be informed on it. I'm thankful for what you're doing on that, Raymond. Continue with your thoughts for our listeners today. And by the way, I think that at a point in time in our dialogue and discussion on this broadcast, we need to get into in-depth of the bill. I've studied the bill, the 2020 bill that they are working on now, fast-tracking. They mentioned gender identity and the gender orientation or sexual orientation less than two dozen times. That's the whole focus of the bill that our folks that's listening need to understand. It's to provide special attention, special exception, special exemption, special privilege for a sodomite group of human beings in our city. By the way, let me just simply say this, and I'll talk further about it in our dialogue and discussion. God loves these people. He loves all of us. He hates the sin. But the sin of Sodom is the sin that God destroyed two cities, according to Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, 26 in particular. He rained down fire from heaven and destroyed two cities because of a Sodomite lifestyle that was prevalent in that era. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, there's a list of 10 categories of sin that will not allow a person to go to heaven. And a homosexual / sodomite lifestyle is one of them. Then in Romans, the first chapter, verse 24 through 32, it says in that text that God had given them up to uncleanness. Then he says he gave them up to vile affections. And then in verse 28, he says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. So in other words, what I want our listeners to understand, this is a category, a class of people called the LGBTQ that has a sodomite agenda. And my Bible says that though they are lost, they can be saved. But though they choose to live that lifestyle, God has given them up for vile affections, given them up, the scripture says, for uncleanness, and given them over unto a reprobate mind. And so it is a very, very serious thing for our government, for any city, for any state, federal, national, or local, to take the position that we're going to codify sin, that we're going to legalize sin and make an immoral lifestyle that which is to be accepted and embraced by the citizens, the moral, ethical citizens in our city. Raymond, go ahead with your dialogue and discussion of what this bill would do, what it will allow, what it does, what it doesn't do, why we should be concerned, and a call to action of what our listeners need to do today.
Well, thank you. So, well, as discussed, you know, just wrapping up what I was saying, the bottom line here is that, you know, the public doesn't know that this is happening, and we can't even go to City Hall to meet. And here we are with the city council determined to pass this in a normal six-week bill cycle that it takes to pass a bill. And so we really do need to get the word out about what's going on. As far as our action goes, I know we got only a couple minutes for a break, top of the hour. But so let me just say this. We can maybe discuss the details of the bill on the other side of the break. But here's what we need. I mean, unfortunately, it appears that we have that the city council is going to have the votes required. There's 19 council members. Takes 10 votes to pass something. If it gets to 13 votes, that's veto proof. We only have about 4 to 6 votes against it. We should have at least 6, but there's probably 2 Republicans that are very well could be waffling on this, and because we can't get solid answers out of them. But let me remind people that this important fact, that the sponsors of this bill are 3 Republicans, so-called Republicans. Now, if you know anything about them, you know that these are absolute rhinos, Republican in name only. So I don't even like calling them Republicans because they're not, and it's very well.
Give our listeners the names of those 3 Republicans.
The 3 sponsors is your second term, Aaron Bowman, who was also a bill sponsor in 2017, if I remember right. He was one of the major pushers, him and Tommy Nasuri. And then you have the newly elected but retread rhino, which is Republican, I'm going to stress that, so-called, Matt Carlucci, a countywide, it's an at-large seat he represents, so that's citywide. He's an at-large council member. Everybody knows him. He's on the news all the time because he has a State Farm insurance company and all this. But so Matt Carlucci, and then a newly elected councilwoman from San Marco. I'm going blank. How do you say her name? Cumberland, something like that. I don't even know the lady.
Let's take a break.
So there's your 3 Republicans.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1-minute break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back. We're discussing this new HR bill that's in on the fast track for the city of Jacksonville.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.